Welcome to the Midlife Men podcast with me, Philip Briscoe. In this episode, I'm joined by Steve Kavanagh. So Steve is the owner of a successful consulting company in the water and energy space. But that's not what we're talking about today. Today I'm talking to Steve as Plunger from F3. So welcome, Steve. Perhaps you could just start by introducing yourself and maybe introduce F3 and tell us what it's all about.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about F3. It certainly has been hugely impactful in my life. And F3 stands for Fitness, Fellowship, and Faith. And it's crazy. This group of meetups that are now globally across the world, of where guys get together and they get out and push themselves in a boot camp style workout. There's also some running type workouts, some rucking type workouts as well. It's just a great opportunity for men to be together, to push each other early in the mornings for fitness. And as we do that, we're building bonds together. So that's where the fellowship comes along. And the faith, the third F, is something bigger than yourself, and realizing that you are not necessarily the center of the universe, and there is something higher and maybe a stronger pull. So very, very excited about it. I've been in for about 10 years. It started in 2011 in Charlotte, North Carolina. Two guys that were actually looking at trying to, you know, get a little exercise together. And, you know, they were thinking about the gyms and things like that, but they really wanted to be outside in the elements. And guess that first Saturday when they got together, there was, you know, 12 or so guys that got together and really enjoyed calling exercises and having a 45-minute time to work on fitness together. So that's a little bit of the background. It started in Charlotte, North Carolina, and now I think there's, I don't know, 4,000 weekly meetups that are out there. 21 in the UK, by the way. So, but primarily in the United States of where it started.
Great. And why did you get involved?
I got involved. I've always, since probably my 20s, when I was getting out of college, I was a runner. I played some basketball, and I've got a very good friend. We've been together since 1990, and he said, "Steve, I've started going to this boot camp thing. You would really love it." And I said, "You know, his name's David." I said, "David, I've got my thing. I go out, I run, you know, in the mornings. I've got a kind of an exercise regimen." And he came back two or three times and said, "Steve, you really need to try this. You need to try it. It's just the fellowship." And so I finally went about 10 years ago, actually. It's 10 years this December, and was EH'd. We had this crazy lingo. So this is, he put me in the emotional headlock, and I committed to be out there. He said, "You know, I want you to, you need to get up. It's at 5:30 in the morning, so you can be back, be there with the kids and all that. And, you know, it's 45 minutes. You're going to love it, I promise." And I go out there, and of course, I'm a runner. And I had not done any push-ups or calisthenics for a while. So I got smoked because had not been doing that, but I totally loved it. I loved the camaraderie and the support and the pushing and the encouraging folks and bringing us on. And it was just a great, great time. And then you get these crazy nicknames. So I was actually named Plunger because I'm in the water. I'm a water engineer, water and wastewater side of things. So you get these crazy nicknames that we do in the circle of trust at the end. And so I'm forever now known as Plunger. Crazy thing about it, was exhausted that first day. And then in about 30 minutes, you know, an hour later, I was, gosh, I really love that. And it was really good. And they were very, very encouraging and supportive. And that was the magnet. That's what got me there. But the glue was the fellowship, of really building a strong base of friends. And so it just continued on from there. His name is Drama Queen, by the way. Drama Queen was the one that EH'd me. And then my first cue, his name was Burlap. So there you go. So some crazy names out there.
What sort of background do these guys have? You know, what sort of walks of life do they come from?
They come from everywhere. You've got CEOs of major corporations. You've got folks that work for the school system. This morning I worked out with Otto here in the Charleston area, which is where I am now, who, you know, he drives a bus and is a school teacher. You've got, it's all walks of life. Folks that are just at different stages of their life. I'm one of the older guys, let's just say, but there are some that are quite a bit older than me. They're in their late 60s. I'm 57, but we're working out side by side with men that are, you know, in their 20s and just getting started in their career. And the communication and the sharing of stories and the fellowship is just incredible, just of how it works together. But yeah, that's a little bit of the backgrounds. It's all over the board. Attorneys, engineers, all professions.
And what sorts of you know, stories to the guys have that come along? I imagine that you are, you know, fulfilling something that they don't have in their life, or, you know, has disappeared, or they've got, you know, perhaps even some mental health issues. What kind of things are you kind of helping different men with?
Well, we're all helping each other. We're helping each other to fend off loneliness, because there's fellowship, and I mean, I miss the guys. I want to go see them in the mornings, and they want to see me. If we are traveling or something, you know, we're kind of checking in. So we're providing that. So I would say the number one thing is building very, very tight bonds, safe spaces to have conversation. On Fridays here in the Charleston area, we have a 10K. We run a 10K every Friday, and there's a group of guys. And then we actually have what's called the marriage minute afterwards. So we get together for coffee around a round table. I have a 25 cup coffee urn that's there. It's, you know, some of the best free coffee, I always like to say. But we talk about relationships. We talk about how we can be better husbands, better fathers, better leaders in our community. And in that, there may be somebody that's really struggling with something. So it's a very tight, confidential circle. And that takes a while. That's not like go to the first, we call them beat downs, the first workout together, first beat down, and then you're immediately going to be friends for life. It takes a few times sweating and sort of lifting each other up and being there and, you know, having sometimes we'll ruck, which means put on a knapsack with a weight in it or something, and you're doing a hike together. Well, there's time to talk and you're building those bonds. But the number one thing and those stories is really the fellowship and overcoming loneliness. You've got somebody to talk to that you trust, and it's not the, you know, it's great to have your socialization, beer drinking buddies or whatever you want to call it, but this is real. I mean, we're working together, building our bodies and then building on those relationships so that we can just be better men and, you know, as I said, husbands and fathers and leaders in our community.
Because often, and I've talked to other people about this, you know, men find it difficult perhaps to share their emotions or share difficulties. Because, you know, a lot of us were brought up that, you know, to think that would be a sign of weakness if you showed any sort of, you know, human emotion. But I guess this is, and that, you know, that they say that if, you know, if you've got men together and you say, right, talk about your emotions, they're not going to do it. But if you've got men together doing something, doing an activity like working out or hiking or whatever it might be, then it's the talking that's actually the important bit that happens more naturally. So, you know, I guess that's one of the things that happens you see in one of your meets.
Absolutely. It's an amazing thing because that's, as you said it, where you're allowing yourself to be a bit more vulnerable. And especially when you've been, you know, walling around on the ground doing push-ups and sit-ups together and all that, you're moving yourself back to kind of as you were kids growing up. And you're remembering that and you're tapping into sort of that side of it, but you're also not able to do everything and be 100% the, you know, everything just right that you might be in business. You know, when someone calls and you're doing, you know, 25, 50 push-ups, and then you get up and you got to do burpees, well, you're not going to necessarily be able to do all of that. Well, that's where you've got some vulnerability. And in that vulnerability, it opens up the environment to be able to, boy, that's tough. And you're talking about it. And then that gives that window of moving it forward. But for sure, I would say it's just getting men to talk and be comfortable with one another. And that's to me, as I said, that's the glue. That's what has kept me coming for, again, 10 years this year.
And when we talked before, you talked about this idea of cultivating male leadership, and I'm really interested to talk to you more about that. You know, what does that mean within the group?
So it's actually, that is the mission. I should have given that, and I encourage your listeners to go to f3nation.com and just sort of look at it. But it's really to plant, grow, and serve small workout groups for men for the invigoration of male leadership in our community. And it really is building community. It's about just being a part of it and reaching out and pulling other men in and folks that you'll see. And you know, it's not that necessarily they need to get in shape, but you watch this, you're watching men walk around in this life hollow. It may be that they've got their routine. It's they go to work, they come home, they, you know, with the kids or whatever, but you may see them briefly at church on Sundays, but there's no depth, and you can almost feel it. And, you know, it's a way to enrich and have our lives enriched as they come on and be a part of. And so it's very much a two-way street. And I've seen it so many times where men's lives have been changed just because they've got another aspiration, a purpose, you know, and they have some folks that they can count on to talk to.
And do you think times are changing a bit now? Do you think, you know, I think a lot of men are struggling to understand where they sit, you know, in society and in the world. Do you see a lot of guys coming along who have, you know, those concerns, you know, just a bit lost?
Absolutely. And they're bombarded every day by so many pulls on their mental time. It's the social media, it's the news, it's all of this. Actually, in F3, you have your listeners look it up, but we call it the goo, G-O-O. It's just the everyday stuff that happens. It's the, you know, the trying to pit people against each other. It's all these things that just are bombarding the mental spirit. What's good and how you're being proactive, how you're, when you get up at 4:30 or 5 a.m., you've accomplished the most difficult thing of the day. You've blasted yourself from what we call the fart sack or the warm bed, and you're up and now you're out there. Well, your day is going to just continue to improve because you've started it with that intensity. And so it's really, when you ask, are things changing? Yes, we're seeing that there is a longing for things that are real, where you're accomplishing it. You're building a sense of accomplishment when you're out there doing some exercise together. And I don't care if you haven't done exercises ever in your life. I've watched men drop, you know, 80 pounds and get their lives back in, you know, get themselves back in shape, but also get them moving in a direction that's truly, truly helping them to be as successful as they can be in life. It's been amazing.
So it's open to anyone, is it? I mean, I guess people listening to this thinking, you know what, I might be able to benefit from F3. So they shouldn't be put off if, as you said, they've not, you know, been out.
Absolutely.
Doing weights for the last 10 years, if they're kind of, you know, they're not as fit as they used to be, or perhaps they're underconfident. And, you know, so how would they go about getting involved?
Well, I'm glad you ask about, you know, it being open to all men. So there's five core principles of F3. I should have also mentioned that it's free of charge. So the price is really right. And anytime someone says, well, I've got my gym membership and all of that, and I'll say, well, how many times you go a week? Well, I need to get back to the gym. So they're paying for this every month and they're not going. Nothing wrong with gyms and opportunities there, but the price is right. It's free. And, you know, it's free. And so that makes it as accessible as it can possibly be to all men for inclusion. You know, it's open to all men, and it's individuals of all ages. You don't have to be from a particular area or region or anything like that, that, you know, to go. And so, you know, that's a big thing. It's held outdoors, rain or shine. So there's no excuse for it. Now we do use some sense about it, and if it's pouring rain, we'll find a shelter or something, but you can still do, you know, calisthenics and things like that. It's led in a rotating fashion by the peers themselves. So it's peer led, which means that I might cue or be the leader on today, and then there'll be another leader tomorrow, and then another leader the next day. So you share in the leadership. And what that's doing is it's cultivating leadership. As you're now leading a group of men, you're responsible for it starting and ending on time. You know, that there's, that you're seeing how we call the group, the packs, how the packs are doing. Is anyone falling really far behind? Because we leave no man behind, but we don't leave them where we found them. We're always trying to bring folks along and make them better. And the last of the core principles is it ends in what we call a circle of trust, which is where the Q, whoever's been the leader for the day, will share something that's on his mind. And it may be something, a leadership principle. It may be a verse of scripture. It may be, something that they've heard that's really intrigued them. And they're bringing that to the group. And then most of the we call them AOs, or the workout locations, we'll do announcements of any upcoming events or things like that. But then we ask for prayer concerns. Is there anything that we can bring together and just pause and put out there and lift you up? And there could be marriages. We've got sicknesses. We've got aging parents. We've got things that are weighing heavy on our men. And so that's brought to this circle of trust. And then, you know, we get together, if the cue feels led, he might lead us in a prayer. If not, it's just a quick pause and then you're out of there. You're out of there. It's 45 minutes in and out. So, but those are the core principles that really sort of bind it all together. And you'll find the same thing at every workout across the world. It's that same format.
And so you must see some men that come along, you know, broken, really needed some support. And you must see some great transitions and great successes. I know we're going to be talking to someone later in this episode about his experience, but what sort of things do you see? You know, what sort of, you know, examples could you share with us?
Well, certainly a lot of the F3 men have children, and their stresses on raising children and the balance of time with spouse, you know, time with children, aging parents. So we're seeing those stresses and being able to work through those stresses. Mental health is a big deal. Just about every day, there's a PAX or a brother that's talking about a family member or something themselves that they're going through that's anxiety or something that has occurred. And so it's an incredible opportunity to, one, to feel comfortable in voicing that, and two, know that you have others there that you can send a quick text or some way to communicate that says, hey, I just need to talk to you for a little bit. And that's there, and it's without reservation. And it's just an amazing thing. But there's others that have addictions, and it's really being there in the right way to be encouraging and putting a positive addiction of exercise and fitness and that sort of thing to crowd out and replace, and also to feel good about yourself. So in many cases, I've seen that happen. Some of those addictions are related to food, and, you know, seen some men that have just really let themselves go down and they don't feel good about themselves. And as I said, I've watched several men lose upwards of 80 pounds, and that's been a game changer. I mean, just what, if you think about a barbell and now you're dropping that barbell, how much better you feel. Imagine carrying that many pounds or kilos in the UK there. So, but yeah, it's I've seen every day I see transformation in a wonderful way. It's been transforming for me to have the relationships and be able to talk things through.
So what a fantastic support network then. And so how well known is F3? So, you know, I'm talking to you from the UK. You know, there's it's over in the UK, and I think you said there were 4,000.
Yeah, I looked on the website. It says 368 regions, and then the number of physical workouts is over 4,433 is the exact number as of the time that the website was updated. And if you look at f3nation.com and look at the map, you can go and zoom right in and it'll pull up a flag. You can click on that flag and it has the exact address of where the beatdown is, what time it starts, and they start and end on time. And then, you know, if your listeners can go and look, there may be an opportunity right there. And we're looking to make sure that more flags are planted. I helped launch Cincinnati Plano, Texas, and Phoenix, Arizona. I was doing traveling, and you know, we were trying to expand. The other thing of it, there is no organizational aspect. There are tenets, but it's about volunteers and leaders stepping up. There's no now. I think we have a foundation. If you buy the shirt, 100% of it goes to charity of supporting. But you know, it's not a money making enterprise. It's one of the most fascinating phenomenons I've ever seen, because it's just, I don't know, 16,000 men, you know, 20,000 men probably now that are doing this every morning.
So if you want to get involved, look on the website, and we'll put the link in the notes anyway, but it's f3.com.
F3nation.com. F3, just like the shirt, f3nation.com.
And look for a flag near where you are. And if there isn't a flag, you could plant one, right? So you would contact the organization and say, look, you know, I'm looking to, there isn't one around where I live. I'm up for, you know, starting a new group. Great.
Well, it's been a phenomenal experience in so many lives. I mean, certainly my life personally, I think about it, and we do these crazy challenges, you know, we'll push each other. We're just coming off of what we call the Dirty Dozen, which is, you know, trying to do 13 workouts in 7 days. So that means double downs. That means you're doing two a day. And it's things like that. We call them CSOPs, completely stupid and utterly pointless. So these are things that you do, but you know, that's where there's excitement. And, you know, like I said, you want to see the guys. So, but yeah, it's a phenomenal opportunity to build the fellowship and just grow your groups of friends and be able to talk things through for sure.
So this is fun, fitness, but it's also got a serious side in that it's
fitness, fellowship, and faith. And those, again, I like to say that the magnet, what always draws everybody in, is to get in shape. You will get in the best shape of your life. And then, but the fellowship is the glue. And the faith means something bigger than yourself. You know, a lot of Christians involved, but a lot of cross-faith, Jewish, you know, Hindi. I mean, all walks of life. It's just something bigger than yourself. You're not the center of the universe.
But in terms of your mental health and your physical health, then, you know, they're so important to, and a lot of guys, I guess, are suffering on both counts. You are joining an F3 group. You're not guaranteed, but certainly, you know, that's a pretty good opportunity to get fit.
Absolutely.
Well, Steve, that's been fantastic. Thank you so much for talking to me today and talking to everybody that's listening. So we've got a part two of this episode. We're going to talk to, so his F3 name is Happy Gilmore, and he's going to talk about his experience. But for now, Steve, that's brilliant. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Philip, thank you. I appreciate what you're doing for men in this podcast series for sure. So keep up the great work.
So now we've spoken to Steve, or Plunger, as I should call him. And now I'm very pleased to speak to Ridge Manzingo, or should I call you Happy Gilmore? And I'll let you explain more. So Ridge is an attorney, and he is part of the same PACs, the Johns Island, South Carolina PACs as Steve. So welcome, Ridge.
Thanks, Philip. Glad to be here.
So, Ridge, perhaps you could just start by talking about, you know, prior to F3, you know, what was your life like? What were you doing?
Yeah, so I started doing F3 at really a transitional part of my life. I graduated law school, and I guess I would have graduated that summer, May or something. But then I took the bar exam to become an attorney, like July 31st and August 1st. And I was up in North Carolina, one state away from here. And my now wife and I closed on a house down here on August 15th. And we got married on August 20th. And then I started my job as an attorney, I think like September 1st or around there. And, you know, so that was my first real career job. You know, I'd had plenty of jobs before that working, you know, in restaurants or on a farm or whatever. But that was my first you know, job as an attorney. And so I really kind of became an adult, like, all at one time. You know, so all of a sudden I had a mortgage, I had a wife, and I had a career, and it was just all at once. And so it was really, I went to F3, I think my second week of work, which would have been around, you know, the second week into September or something like that. So I really kind of started at right as I became what I would, you know, kind of started being a man, I guess. So
that's a lot of change in your life. And how did you feel about that? What sort of challenges did you find you were facing?
You know, it's funny because all of those things I just described are good things, right? They're all things I like aspire to, right? Like I always, you know, I love my wife to death. I love my then fiance at the time, right? And was excited for that. I wanted to be a lawyer, right? I felt so lucky to be able to own a house, right? Like all of those things are great things. But, you know, I found actually like I was more stressed and it was much more of a challenge than I thought at times. It wasn't all, you know, it wasn't all a joy. And particularly, I think my wife was kind of more prepared for this than I was, but I kind of had a vision of marriage and at least the honeymoon phase of marriage is, oh, that's going to be, you know, oh, just all great and rainbows and unicorns. And you're going to laugh together and smile and have fun every night and all this and that. And I just realized that pretty quickly the reality of what marriage is was much different than I thought it was going to be. And my first year of marriage was in a lot of ways a struggle for us. It was challenging. And so, you know, I really was kind of bringing that into F3, I think. And it was in hindsight, F3 was what I really needed at that time to be able to deal with that.
I think a lot of people suffer from the kind of Instagram sort of syndrome where you think everybody else is having a perfect life and actually it's just for show. So how did you get involved with F3? Who introduced you?
So actually I'd heard about F3 from my hometown in North Carolina. It's a small little town. And my Episcopalian and my priest at the time, he was a former guy that was in the U.S. Coast Guard and just a great role model for me growing up. And he was involved in F3 since I was in, I think, high school, maybe college. And he would always try to get me to come to the workouts, but they're 5:15 in the morning. And, you know, as a adolescent, young adult, I was like, that is way too early. There's no way I'm making it out. But I always had it in the back of my mind. And when I came here to Charleston, I wanted to meet people. And really, I just kind of started because I was like, oh, man, this will be a good way to meet some people. I want to work. I want to motivate myself to work out before work. I looked it up online and I saw there was a workout location right up the road from my house. So I just showed up randomly. And Plunger was one of the first people I met. It turns out Plunger and I are third cousins, actually, oddly, even though we didn't realize that. So, yeah, the world's a small place. And I just kind of showed up and felt right at home immediately. So.
And how did, you know, being part of that community, how did that help with, you know, the sort of challenges you were explaining in your life, you know, perhaps just coming to terms with a completely new phase of in your life?
Yeah, I think it really a few ways. Number one, you know, I think my idea of, I guess, other people maybe in general, or especially like, other adults, because I just become an adult, right? Other men is like, my idea was kind of like, you know, I see a lot of people who seem to have it all together, right? And I just had this kind of baseline assumption that, you know, these sort of like internal struggles I have, right? Like these problems that I wrestle with, these doubts, these insecurities, things like that. I just kind of had a baseline assumption that those were maybe not totally unique to me, but it was something that was like, it was me and then like other people that struggle with that. And then most people that I knew that had it together, just had it together. Right. And I think it showing up to F3 in a place where people are just vulnerable and honest about what's going on in their life. I realized that, oh, wait, everybody struggles, right? Everybody has challenges. Everybody has something in their mind that they're prone to, be it like, maybe they are prone to being anxious or maybe they, you know, struggle with depression, or maybe they struggle with addiction, or maybe they just struggle with the, you know, day-to-day life to some degree, like living in a family with others, because it can just be a struggle inherently, even though it's a wonderful thing, right? And I realize that every single person goes through these things, things like I'm going through, right? Or at least there are tons of people out there that do. So I think it kind of helped me realize that, wait, life isn't about not struggling. Life's about learning how to confront the challenges and struggles that you have in a healthy and productive way. And it gave me a community of people, of men who are doing that every day, who are dedicated. And maybe I'm not saying they always live up to that, right? But they're dedicated to trying to meet those struggles in a healthy way. And it gave me both a sense of community and a group of role models, really, that I could be honest with about, you know, everything that was going on in my life. So it really, in a lot of ways, it prevented me from making mistakes that I think I would have made if I didn't have that group.
So it's more than just, you know, the fitness. It's more than just, you know, working out at 5:50 in the morning. There's a lot more to it than that. And I guess talking to other people as well, there's something about doing something and talking that really helps, and helps people to open up and you know, share feelings or challenges that perhaps they wouldn't do normally. I mean, did you find that you relaxed into the group and could, you know, you've already said you could open up and feel that you could discuss anything, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, it stands for fitness, faith, and fellowship. And it's really an interfaith organization, right? It can be, we have a guy that comes to our group that's Jewish, a guy that's Mormon. We have, you know, kind of contemporary evangelical Christian folks. We have more traditional Presbyterian. We have guys that, you know, I'm not sure if they go to church or not. You know, so it's kind of, faith kind of means something different than maybe it means in the way you typically hear it. But I think it's about, really, to me, F3 is about getting better in a lot of ways, becoming a better man and helping others become a better man. We have a saying called, this iron sharpens iron. And I think that like the workout piece is a part of that, right? That's like the getting better physically, right? And then the fellowship, I think, is like growing together in community and learning how to be a better man in your family life, in your community, at work, in every aspect you do. And then I think, you know, the faith part is about growing spiritually as a person, right? I think we all have this component to us that we need to feed, not just physically, but, you know, what I would call it spiritually. Some people may call it emotionally, right? Like, it's just, we have that piece of us that we need to nurture. And to me, F3 is a big part of nurturing that part of me and just becoming better in all those respects. So,
and of course, you know, physical health is so linked to mental health as well, positive mental health. And so let me ask you, so where did you get your nickname from then? Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore. So at the end of the workout, we go into a circle. We call it the Circle of Trust. It's a cot. And if it's your first time there at F3, you'll be known as the FNG, and it stands for Friendly New Guy. And we like to joke that that's all it stands for, is Friendly New Guy. But then at the end of the workout, you'll go in the circle and people will ask you questions. They might ask you to tell a funny story, or what are some of your favorite movies, or what do you like to do for fun? And they asked me, what do I like to do for fun? And I said, well, I like to golf. And somebody was like, well, are you good at it? And I was like, not really. No, I just kind of like to do it. They were like, oh, how about Happy Gilmore? So they threw out Happy Gilmore and the name stuck. And I think it fits, you know, fairly happy-go-lucky guy. So
what advice would you give someone, Rich, who might be listening to this and feeling a bit overwhelmed or perhaps lonely or not feeling they've got the support in the lives that they need? What advice would you give them?
So I would give two pieces of advice that I've found have helped me through my own sort of mental health challenges or personal life challenges that I face. Number one is, I think being in community with other people is a fundamental need we have as humans. And I think it's something that we just don't really get in modern society a lot. I think, you know, through most of human history, we've kind of had built-in tribes or maybe small villages and places where community kind of naturally happened. And I think we lack that today. And what I mean by community is it's a little different than friendship. And I think we need friendship too. Friendship is great. It nurtures, you have friendship within community and we need that. But friendship is kind of built on mutual liking of another person, right? And I think community is built on a sense of commitment to being together and to helping each other grow and being there for one another no matter what. So I think it's built on commitment and to some degree a set of shared values, right? And I think it having that is just a fundamental need we all have that's not being met. Now, that doesn't mean that when you're in community, you won't still have problems or that, you know, I don't believe there's really a panacea that will solve all of your issues you have. But I think it's often step one for people who don't find that they have that, because it is a hole in our life, in our modern day lives, that I think often does not get filled and is crucial. And the second thing I would say that I've learned is I have been to therapy in the past, and I think therapy is great. I'm not discouraging people from going by saying this, but for me personally, I found that therapy was good for me to acknowledge kind of what the issues in my life were, right? Almost like a diagnostic tool. But I found for me, sometimes it didn't go far enough, and I didn't really know kind of what that missing piece was. But what I found is I had a buddy that was facing a very similar issue to something I had faced, sort of a mental block. And he reached out to me for advice about it. And I don't think at that time I had kind of really processed that fully myself, or I had dealt with that struggle internally great. But I was kind of giving him advice that I had told myself a million times, right? But I was able to see his situation from more of an objective point of view, and basically being there for him and helping him through his situation, which is one that I was kind of facing, was the most therapeutic thing I could have done. And so I say that to say, I think we're often very internally focused on our own lives. And to some degree, you should be, because you need to be internally aware of what's going on. But when you shift from being internally aware to outwardly focused on helping others, I think that's, in my life, has been the most beneficial thing from a mental health perspective that I could find. I think being a community is part of that, because it gives you a group of people to be outwardly focused towards. And so, yeah, that's pieces of advice from my own life that I'll, you know, leave here.
That's great. That's wise words. Thank you, Rich. Thank you very much for talking to me. Thanks for your insights and being open and honest. And wish you the best. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you, Philip. And if anybody's interested in checking out F3, if you type in F3 near me to Google and type in wherever you're living, hopefully you can find one near you. And if not, you look up Rich Mazingo. I should have an attorney profile. And if you send me an email, I'm happy to try to connect you somewhere. So.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Midlife Men podcast with me, Philip Briscoe. If you would like to find out more about F3 and where you can find your nearest F3 location, then visit the website www.f3nation.com. If you have a story to tell and you think your experience would help others, then please get in contact with me either via the website www.mid-lifemen.com or email me at midlifemen01@gmail.com. Finally, please share the podcast with your networks. And if you enjoyed listening, then please rate or like the podcast to help raise its profile. And then we can reach more people who might benefit from the advice and help shared by my guests.